Well, I got emails, text messages saying last Wednesday was the most powerful Wednesday night service anybody had ever been to, thanking me for it, and I just had to tell them I wasn't here. I do want to thank Pastor Jeff. I did actually hear many great comments about it, so thank you, Jeff. Aren't y'all thankful for Pastor Jeff? So, a lady's getting ready to fly on a trip. She gets her things together at the airport. She gets ready to get on. She buys a little bag of chocolate chip cookies. So about halfway through the flight, she notices in her peripheral vision that the guy next to her is reaching down and taking some of the cookies out of the bag. It wasn't me. But she doesn't know what to do. She's not sure, but she can't believe it. And she's thinking maybe she didn't see it. So she just, you know, kind of over-exaggerates her movement to the bag, gets some cookies out. And for every two cookies she takes, he takes one. And she's so furious, but she doesn't know what to do or what to say. Finally, it comes down, there's one cookie in the bag. And she's sitting there wondering to herself, I wonder what he'll do. And sure enough, he reaches and he takes the last cookie. And he breaks it in half and offers her half. She says, oh, no, thank you. But she's thinking, this is the most wicked, evil, selfish man. She can't believe it. She's so upset. She storms all the way from the airport terminal to her car. She gets to her car, opens up her purse to get her keys out. And there are her bag of chocolate chip cookies. And she realizes that he must have been thinking, I can't believe she's eating my cookies. And she just kept on, right? And then she thought about it. That he never said a word to her. They were his cookies. And even when there's just one left, he breaks it in half and offers. And all of a sudden, he's not this wicked, evil, selfish man. He's the most generous person that she's ever met. And isn't it amazing how a little perspective can change what we think about everything? And how many of us are in need of a little perspective to truly see what's going on, but especially a spiritual perspective. In John 9, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Isn't that how people are? Isn't that how we are? You kind of see somebody that's down and out, and you just can't help but to wonder, what'd they do? Anybody ever think that? Let's just see where everybody's at. One, okay, now people are joining you. I was going to ask you to leave. But other people, I mean, aren't we like that? You see somebody just down and out, and you just think to yourself, wonder what they did or didn't do or whatever it might be. And the disciples are the same way. They see this guy, and he's been blind since the day he was born. And they come across this man, and the disciples ask Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. But you know what? I bet it wasn't just everybody else that thought that. You think there were times in that man's life where he wondered the same things? Why is it me? Why isn't it somebody else? Now listen, I love this story because I identify with this guy, right? Because I just wonder. It's my favorite song. I sing it over and over and over again. You may have sung it before. It's fine if you have. It's called, Why Me? Anybody ever sing that? Why me? Why is this going on, right? So the disciples want to know. And really what's happening is they're in need of a little spiritual perspective. Who sinned, Rabbi? This man or his parents that he was born blind? And isn't it funny? Because would it matter? I mean, would it matter if Jesus said, well, he did? What would the disciples have said? No, it was his parents. He's paying for his parents' sins. I mean, what's the point of the question? But Jesus answers it anyway, and he says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." And when I read that, do you know what I think of? All the times that I've prayed that God's work would be displayed in my life. But then I wonder, now wait, I didn't mean it like that. Like when I wanted God's power displayed in my life, I wanted like this way, that like when I preach, everybody's going, "This is unbelievable. This guy, this man, he is brilliant," right? I mean, those are the thoughts I have when I'm praying for God's work to be displayed in my life, right? I don't know what you think, but you know, those are the kind of things that I think. And yet Jesus says this wasn't a result of this man's sin. This wasn't a result of his parents' sin, but this was purposed. His blindness is not a random thing that occurred in his life, but this was planned. This was purposed. Now, I was thinking of telling you all this, and then I decided not to, and now I'm going to. That this will be a really great 15-minute message. It'll be a mediocre 25-minute message, and it'll be a really bad 30-minute message, because the message here is so simple. And I think that this message speaks to some of the deepest things that we think and feel about our lives, but our problem is we don't see those things from a spiritual perspective. This man was born blind. What is it that we're facing in our lives? What is it that we're going through? What are the questions that we have about our lives and what's taking place, and from whose perspective are we looking at it? Jesus said this man didn't sin. It wasn't his parents' sin. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. You see, I think that's a wonderful prayer that all of us could pray, is that God's work would be displayed in our lives. But I'm going to tell you, I think it's a dangerous prayer, because God is willing for his work, his power to be displayed in our lives, but it's not always like we're thinking about. And sometimes we go through really difficult things. And let's break it into two categories. I think there are those things that God just takes us through. Like, we're going to go through it no matter what. God has taken us through it. It's absolutely what he's going to do, right? But then the other category is there are things that God allows us to go through. Amen? Now, in a lot of Baptist churches, when the preacher's preaching and he says amen like that, it's really meant for you to say, yeah, you're almost out of words tonight already. And it's like 7:07, right? But God allows us to go through things, right? And maybe it was somebody else's doing. Maybe it feels like it was at their hands, but God is allowing us to go through it. But it's going to have the same end result if we'll trust him and walk with him. And that is that God's work is going to be displayed. Now, if I were really good, I could tell you, each of you, your situation, how it's going to turn out. But only God knows that, right? Because if we knew how it was going to turn out, how much trust would it require? Somebody say it. How much trust would it require if you know how it's going to turn out? None. It would require no trust, just knowledge. But what God wants is for us to trust him. So I don't know how it's all going to work out. And I'll admit to you tonight that I always pray for what I'm going through, but I always throw in how I'd like to see it work out. God, you know what I'm going through? Help me through it for your glory. But here's what I'd like to see you do. Does God ever do that? Sometimes. But he doesn't do it for me, right? It's for his work, his power to be displayed. But most of the time, God already knows what he's going to do. And if God did what I wanted every time, there'd be no growth. And isn't this supposed to be about growth? I mean, listen, if you've been a Christian for 20 years, you ought to be able to look back over those 20 years and see some evidence of growth, right? You're not perfect, but you should be better. Like seven people are like, yes, that's right. There should be growth. I mean, that's part of what this is all about. An intimate love relationship with Jesus, that we follow him, we listen to him. And even through the really difficult things, even through the things we would never have chosen. Has anybody gone through something that you would have never chose? And all we can do is trust as we go through that. I'll meet with folks in my office and man, what they've been through, I mean, is so sincerely and genuinely heartbreaking. And I always find myself at a loss as to what to say. But it always comes down to the same thing. Because they'll tell the story. And ever how painful, ever how tragic, ever how horrific, they'll tell the story and then they'll look at me and say, what do I do now? You ever felt that way? Anybody ever kind of go through something and you get to the middle of it? Maybe not the end of it. You get to the middle of it and say, what do I do now? What do I do? And even when people share with me this great heartache, and not everybody, but some that are willing to admit, I'm really angry at God. I've prayed, and I've just been trusting that God would do something, and I feel like God's totally let me down. Pastor Jamie, what do I do now? And that is so tough. Let me tell you, one reason it's tough is because I've been there. When you just feel like God just totally missed the boat. That God fell asleep at some point in the middle of what I was going through because it was supposed to turn out a different way, but it didn't. And what do you do now? And I say the same thing, though. And it's the only thing that I really know to say. Because I can't say, it is going to work out different. Hang in there. And if you watch a lot of TV preachers, that's exactly what a lot of them say. Just hang in there. It's going to work out the way you want. I quit saying that. Because so many times it just didn't work out the way I wanted, right? But I just say, now think about this. After basically what these people have told me is, I trusted God and he let me down. What do you think I tell them as a pastor they should do now? Pray. No, not pray. I mean, okay, gosh. Ugh. It should have been so obvious the answer I was looking for. How do I say, no, I don't tell them to pray. Just quit praying. All right, let me say it again and I'll really, that's quite enough out of you. They feel like they trusted God and he let them down. What do I do now? And I tell them, trust. And they always look at me so confused, like, did you not hear what I just said? And then I always respond and I say, what else are you going to do? Who else are you going to turn to? Where else are you going to go? Who else are you going to trust? You're just going to have to trust. You're just going to have to keep hanging on to him, right? So here's this guy. He's been blind since the day he was born. And it was definitely a cultural view in this time that if you had some kind of physical ailment, something, that it was a curse by God because of somebody's sins. You were paying for somebody's sins, either yours or somebody else's. And that's how they viewed it. And here are the disciples who are following Jesus, who should have a better understanding of sin and healing and all that than all of us. And they said, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus says, neither. This is not why this has happened. This has happened for one reason, so that God's work would be displayed. Listen to what Jesus says. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. How much do you want the work of God to be displayed in your life? Now, I think if I hadn't read this scripture and I'd have just asked that question, everybody would have their hand up. I want the work of God displayed in my life. But now I read this scripture and say, how many of you want the work of God displayed in your life? And there's not as many takers. People are like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure, because it could be really tough. But let me ask you, what do you have that means anything to you that it wasn't tough? That it wasn't difficult, right? And that we're able to look back at those things and see what God did. Listen, if you've been through one valley, it's not that you look forward to the next one, but you understand a little bit better about how God works. And you want his work to be displayed in your life, whether he's just taking you through something or he's allowed you to go through something. I mean, some of you sit here tonight and you're going through things and they're not a result of what you've done. It's somebody else's choice. Somebody else just made a choice and it affects you that way. But God's work is going to be displayed through it. And that is what you're trusting, right? That his work will be displayed. Because if you're trusting him for the end you want, come on, you're not really trusting him. But if you trust him, if you're in such a relationship with him that you say, God, I don't know how this will turn out. I know how I want it to, but I don't know how it's going to. But I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to hold firmly to you because I want your work displayed in my life. Whatever that might look like, help me to trust you. I can't tell you how many times I pray that. Help me to trust you. And the reason I pray that prayer specifically is because it's hard for me to trust God. I just want to have both my hands on whatever's going on. I want to control it. I want to manipulate it. I feel like I could work it out the way I want it if both my hands are on it. And it's usually when it's just totally ripped out of my hands that I'm finally like, oh, okay, God, help me to trust you, right? As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. And while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now listen to this. This is awesome. Having said this, he, meaning Jesus, spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Just think about this. Think about what Jesus did. Because sitting in church on a Wednesday night and hearing that, we can all hear that. We all say, oh, praise the Lord. Ain't God so good. And it's easy to say that when there's not mud in your eye. Right? Because as soon as God begins to do a work in your life and he spits on the ground and he rubs some mud together and he says, come here, we're like, whoa, hang on, God. Why the mud? Why the spit? Why? And I don't know. All of you are like on the edge of your seat. I've always wanted to know why. I don't know. I mean, Jesus could have said, see, couldn't he? Yes. But he didn't. He spits on the ground. He makes mud. He puts it in the guy's eyes. Now, here's the thing. I'm kind of sharing this with you, and I'm sharing. We're all sharing a feeling in common, like, kind of gross, right? Look at you. Some of you are acting so holy, like, not if it's Jesus spit. You're just acting so holy. I mean, come on. Most of us, let me put it that way. Most of us, we're kind of like, ew, that's so gross. But do you know the Bible doesn't say in any way that the blind guy was like, whoa, hang on a second. I mean, can you imagine? Obviously, he can't see to see what Jesus is doing, but everybody can hear. Ha! Right? The guy's got a sense of what's happening, but nowhere does he appear to be grossed out about it. You know why? Because if you've been blind since the day you were born, they can put whatever they want on your eye if it will bring you sight. And all we see from this man is a heart of gratitude. And the work of God is being displayed in his life. And he may not have ever understood that until that moment. He may not have understood it in the moment, but we know there's coming a day when he's going to understand. And Jesus does this. And it's odd that Jesus does it this way. I don't know why he did it this way. I don't think he did it to make the story more interesting. There's a point here. And I think that for God's work to be displayed in our lives, there's sacrifice that's a part of that. And what we go through sometimes is unpleasant, right? It's not what we would have hoped for. It's not what we would have wished for. But God's doing a work. And our trust is in him to do that work. And if we have an earthly perspective about what's going on in our lives, you know what we think? We think that Jesus is eating the cookies out of our bag. An earthly perspective will always make you think that. And it will always make you think that what's happening isn't fair. And it'll always make you think, now listen to this, that what you're going through, it must be the result of your sin. But if we have a spiritual perspective, we realize that the bag of cookies we're eating out of, they belong to God. And he gave them to us. He's sharing them with us. That he has a work. He has a plan. In our lives, listen, if you're a follower of Jesus tonight, the Bible says your life doesn't even belong to you. It's God's. You've been bought with a price. Our lives don't belong to us. And our great trust is in God. And that whatever we're going through, however difficult, however painful, even if our honest gut level feeling is that God's let us down. Is it okay to think that? Wow, y'all are like so quiet when you're not sure if it's a yes or a no. Let me tell you. Anybody read the Psalms? Anybody hear the psalmist saying, God, where are you? What's the psalmist saying? God, if you were here, this wouldn't have happened. I wouldn't have had to go through it. The psalmist is saying, God, this is your fault. Listen, the writers of the Bible went through it. We go through it. We feel that way. We feel like God's let us down. He's disappointed us. He didn't answer our prayer. He's not there. And I'm going to tell you, it's okay to feel that way because we're going to feel the way we feel, but we can't live our lives by our feelings. That's an earthly perspective. We have to live our lives by what we know, and that's this, that he's always there and that he cares. He knows what we're going through, and he is going to do a great work in the midst of what we're going through, but we have to trust him. And I've prayed a lot of prayers. It says, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I'm not sure that you know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you. Because literally, who else am I going to trust? Where else am I going to turn? Who else's wisdom is going to get me through this? Who else's strength is going to carry me through? And so even when I feel like, God, this is your fault, you dropped the ball on this one, all I can do is say, Lord, teach me to trust you. Now, let me just say this in closing. I do not want somebody to leave and say I'm advocating that we all blame God. I'm just saying that the reality is sometimes we do. And what I hate is I've met with people who haven't prayed in months because they're mad at God. But it's not that they're mad at God, that they're not praying. It's the guilt they feel that they're mad at God. You know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. And so many people think it's a sin to be angry, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Hey, we're going to be angry, right? And there's going to be times when I'm angry at God. And in no way, listen, just because you're angry at God doesn't mean it's his fault. But what I'm encouraging us to do, because I believe if most of us were honest, we go through those times where we just feel like that God dropped the ball. And what I'm saying tonight is we feel that way from an earthly perspective. And what we need is a spiritual perspective. And to know that even in spite of how we feel, that God is there and that He cares. And whenever I get that question, what do I do now? The answer is keep on trusting and keep on praying for God's work to be displayed in your life. Here I am, Lord. I'm yours. Whatever you want to do, wherever you want to take me, however you want to lead me, I'm yours. That we'd pray with no will of our own, but to say, as Jesus taught us, not my will, but your will be done. Now I know tonight, that's a tall order, isn't it? To say, Lord, whatever you want to do. Lord, here's my life. Whatever you want to do. However you want to use me. Lord, in the midst of what I'm going through, that I can't even begin to understand how you would do it. And that's what I think the point is about the saliva in the mud. If you want to know what I think the point is, I think that's the point. That makes no sense. It makes no sense why Jesus would spit on the ground, make mud, put it on his eyes. It makes no sense, but here's the deal. Jesus did it. And I think what that tells us tonight is you may not have a clue about why you're going through what you are. And that's okay. It's okay. Don't understand, right? What does the Bible promise? A peace that surpasses understanding, right? I don't understand. Doesn't mean it's not the work of God, though. But that we would trust Him. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Close your eyes. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, I hope the one thing you've heard me say tonight is He's there and He cares. And because He was the perfect Son of God and He left the splendor and the glory of heaven to come to the earth and live like life just like us, just as us, except He was without sin. And believe that His crucifixion on that cross, His resurrection from the dead, His blood was shed so that we could be forgiven. I want you to know He and He alone has the power to forgive your sin tonight. And I would plead with you tonight, if you believe that He was the Son of God and you believe He died on the cross and rose again 3 days later and you believe that He will forgive your sin, I'd ask you tonight to invite Him in. And for so many of us, I just want to open up this altar tonight for us to come and to be honest with God. God, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. But even without that understanding, I just want to trust You. And I want to follow You. Teach me to trust You, Lord. Let's stand together. The altar is open. I want to invite you to come. Don't wait. You just come. Come now.